having these weird thoughts lately. Like, is any of this for real? Or not? Why did I buy the Xbox One? It's got no games. And the multi-chat is a joke. I'm so confused. Did I make the right purchase? I just need a sign. Anything. Just something from above.
It's on the way. Stand by for Titanfall.
We got Giant Shark, Magcar, Kuda, and Nova Scotia.
Groovy! I know we're on the game. Groovy!
Finish him! Hey, everybody, back! Ace Squad's back. I'm your host, Rise Like Phoenix. With me, as always, from the beginning, Giant Shark.
Can't wait to start it again. Let's go.
Max Barracuda.
Season 3.
And the newest addition to the team, Noah's Redemptive.
I'm not that new, but...
I mean, you're the newest, though.
He's been around for a bit. That sound clip was awesome.
You're the A Carbine.
Can I be the B and the C Carbine? Maybe the C Carbine, because he was all awesome.
All right. Anyway, you might have noticed a little gap in the show. And we were having a little technical difficulty, a little personal problems.
I don't like that we part.
I was having technical difficulties. I was having personal problems. We're back. We're lighting up the Facebook. The Facebook's going to be super hot, so if you like video game memes, you're just having a little chuckle, and I think Novus is going to start throwing up some videos up there. Right?
Yep.
All right.
My random little Let's Play videos.
Right. So, we're back, baby.
Back, baby.
Let's go into what we're playing. What's new? What have you guys been playing for the last month and a half?
Yeah.
I can never get that one right. So I just decided to just ease people into it. You know, just ease it in.
Should I wait for us to talk about it?
Not that one game. But, I mean, it's been a month and a half. You've been playing anything?
Yeah, just the same old, finishing up. I beat The Walking Dead, the second season, chapter 1.
Okay.
It was fantastic. I don't remember if I talked about it on the last show or not.
I don't think so.
Anyway, losing Lee, you think that it might be a lesser game because you're a child at this point. You're just, what's her face?
Clementine.
And it's every zombie is way more intense now because you're a little girl. And, like, fighting them is not just, like, simple as hitting them over the head and they're done. It's like, you hit them over the head, but you're a little girl. It's like they don't die.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah, that's cool, man. I know in the Walking Dead show, you could just basically just press your finger through their heads like hard cheese. Sometimes.
The game's kind of better.
The girl with the sword is not.
The story picks up right where it left off in just like all the terrible things that happened to this poor little girl on her road to survival. And, you know, she's, right in the beginning, she gets left alone. And
oh, that sounds fun.
And
it's light.
No, but what are you playing?
Well,
I don't want to give up the whole game.
Well, it's a very story-based game, Dan. Give me a break.
And it's only one chapter so far.
Yeah,
so.
I'm pressing X to choose what choices I... come on.
Right. I feel you. I know what game you're playing. Same game as I'm playing.
I actually got suspended from Xbox Live.
What?
For a day.
What?
I don't even know why.
You were one of those guys, weren't you? Being a dick.
I haven't even played like an online first-person
How many
shooter.
Times did you throw out the N-word?
None. Zero. I don't even wear my mic.
Whoa. The Novus? The Novus word? Anyway, Novus, what have you been playing, bro?
A lot of randomness in the last 2 months or so. mostly Final Fantasy 13 still. I got to that whole open world part that I've been talking about.
Oh, okay. Let's go on to the next thing now.
well, that end, since we didn't get to really go into this last time, I ended up picking up a Wii U because I had the cash for it.
Mm-hmm. I remember talking about that.
Yeah, so I was playing, it came with Super Mario U and Super Luigi U, and I ended up picking up Zombie U because a friend of mine was like, I have like $15 of gift card, let's buy it. And I was like, okay, so we picked it up and we've been playing those three. And as far as Xbox, I haven't played shit. So okay. It's basically been between the Wii U and the PS3 for the most part.
What do you think about the Wii U? Do you think that...
I like it. I mean, I like it for the fact that I can actually play it without actually having to have it on the screen. Because, you know, at least Mario, what's on the screen is the same as what's on the tablet. So at least when I want to play that, I can just kind of whip it out and, you know, watch something on Netflix on the screen, play on the tablet, and do something on my computer at the same time. But for games like Zombie U, where it's a little bit more intensive, it's a little hard to adjust the fact that you're looking down, looking up, looking down, looking up, looking down. It's weird, but I like it.
I don't want to pry too much, but how much did you end up paying for it?
For Zombie U?
No, for the Wii. Whole
thing. Oh, for the Wii. It was like, it was $250 new, but I, since I work at a retail outlet, I got 15% off and a gift card with it. So I think I spent $230.
Was it worth the $230?
Again, I like it. There was a couple things I'm a little bit eh about. If you try to play the Wii, like the old Wii games on it, it kind of reverts it back to like old shitty quality, even worse than video, like the actual like red yellow.
Really?
Yeah, it looks bad. Like I was like, ugh, how does this look so bad? But is that otherwise? It's a pretty good system. The upside to it is that like my my library where I borrow a lot of games, they have most of the catalog there. So I'm like, okay, I'll just get them all for free there. So I don't have to buy any of these games for the most part.
So, okay, yeah. So that's cool, man. That's new. Max, what do you got?
It's been a while since we've done this, so I don't remember what the last thing I talked about was, but I guess I'll go.
I think you were going on Pirates.
No, he was doing Tomb Raider.
I was doing Tomb Raider. Well, I finished that. Right. That was good. I guess I'll stick with the two that have taken up the most time lately. Is finally going through The Last of Us, because John Schock was nice enough to get me for my birthday a PlayStation 3.
You got to play it forward sometimes.
So I'm finally moved into the PlayStation world. And the big time killer, Lego Marvel Heroes.
Oh, we actually, both of us, 100%
on that. 100%
on that.
Yeah, 100%.
That game is fun.
Yeah, man.
Okay, well, I've been playing that over the past month, in and out of a lot of games. And I gotta say, I really hope that city dynamic, where you can either swing through as Carnage or Venom or whoever, or you can fly through as a Human Torch or Iron Man, or you can run through Juggernaut style or whatever. I haven't seen that in any other... I know it's like a little kiddie game, but I haven't seen that many modes of travel through the sandbox games.
It's so far the best Marvel Heroes game I think I've ever played, because you have every option.
Right.
Now you're going to spend most of your time as Iron Man.
And Cap.
The only thing I wish that...
I like Venom, personally.
The only thing I wish it was at the end was like, you know, just the whole island just got hit up with bad guys, and you could just...
By the time you unlock a lot of the good characters, like by the time you get Deadpool, there's nobody left to fight.
Yeah, there's nothing really left to do.
And he's one of the most fun to fight with.
And you can't get him, you can't cheat to get him early, because you have to have all the bricks.
Yeah, so you got to go do like free play on levels just to fight somebody.
Right, I didn't do all that. I just played it for the story mode, because the story is actually a pretty good Marvel story.
It is.
It's got cute. It's not rehashed from like old comics or anything, is it? It's brand new?
No, it's Lego style, so it's... pretty simple story that's super funny.
It pokes a lot of fun at the you know, the movies and stuff like that. It has an achievement to get Captain America and Human Torch on the same screen at the same time.
And it's called Hey, I Know You.
Yeah.
It took a minute. So I've been playing that. I've been playing a lot of the new Heroes Might and Magic 6. They switched studios, and God, I can't remember who does it now, which is embarrassing. But they switched up the style. I'm not going to get into it because nobody else cares.
It's still a fort game?
It's still a fort game. Real quick, they stopped it where you can take like the little wood mills and just the annoying shit from each other. If you own the fort, you own the surrounding area. Mm-hmm. And that's that. And you build up the heroes. It's a lot more based on your hero rather than your army. And it's for the better. It's for the better. I really like it.
I know you bought a new computer, and it's a touchscreen. Does it enhance the game by having it be a touchscreen?
It plays kind of clunky for a touchscreen. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some games that were tailor-made for it, like Cut the Rope and stuff, that are just more fun on that. Chess, I'm playing on it, so I've really been excited with the touchscreen. But no, I'm faster with the mouse at this point at Heroes.
Yeah.
Also, the other game that Giant Shock and I have been playing a lot over the past week, of course, Titanfall. We're going to be getting into that in the news.
Oh, man, you dropped it. I was like, all right. I'm about
to... Name drop.
All right. So that's really what I've been playing, mostly Heroes, Titanfall. I did do the Hot Shots Golf on Xbox One in my more straight-up
Hot Shots Golf? Isn't that game really old?
Yeah, that series has been around for a while.
Yeah, but it came out on Xbox as a downloadable game. It might not even be Hot Shots. It's just such a shitty game. This is the last time I'm going to talk about
it. Are we
about
actually
it.
Talking about this?
No. No.
Play a little bit of Ready to Rumble.
I was just trying to show the dire straits I was in with my Xbox One before Titanfall Beta came out.
I think your intro kind of got us to that point.
Okay. Right. I kind of drove the point home.
Yeah, you did.
All right, well, whatever. I can't stop. I can't stop now. I want to talk about it. So let's go into the new news.
To Steve, assemble!
Good news, everyone.
Don't need money.
Bad news, everyone.
Not heard? It was my understanding that everyone had heard.
Titanfall Beta is out. Giant and I both got it. It's not going to be out by the time it. We're recording this on Wednesday. It ended today at 6 p.m.
Oh, the beta's done?
Done.
You lied to me.
No!
Done. Fucker, you lied to me.
You're going to play it after?
He said it comes out, because I have the old consoles, he said it comes out on PC. I was like, well, I have a PC that can possibly handle it.
The game comes out on PC. You could do that. Yeah, the beta's not going to come out.
Well, I'm talking about the beta, so...
No, well, you needed a code to get on it anyway.
Man, fuck betas.
Anyway, we've been playing it. First impressions, amazing game. Amazing.
Just the control is unlike any other FPS I've ever played.
Lives up to the hype then?
Oh, yeah. It's like Call of Duty meets the mirrors. Well, first off, for anyone who doesn't know.
I've been hearing that, though. The free running is supposed to be crazy good. The free running
is incredible. You spend, for people who don't know, it's a new game coming out. It's a first-person shooter. I don't know why you wouldn't know by now, but you spend half the time as your human character or pilot. And half the time in your huge mech called a Titan, which is roughly two stories tall. So it's monstrous. Like
when you walk in within the buildings, you're as tall as the buildings.
I was under the impression they had different size ones, too.
Well, this is the beta. They do.
The beta only has one chassis available.
Okay, so there will be more in the final.
This is going to be probably like a game you could customize a lot with. Yeah. But in the beta, they only gave you like one of each, really.
They have some really unique stuff in the game. I mean, they went all out. There's no story mode in this game.
Which I was kind of bummed about, because I was playing the game and I was like, man, I bet you this story mode's pretty epic.
There is a campaign mode to it. No. But it's going to be a multiplayer campaign.
Yeah,
you have to play through it in multiplayer, but I forgot how they said they were going to do it. It's going to, like, there's going to be non-playable characters and stuff kind of guiding you through the story.
Because in the beta, there's non-playable characters that are talking to you, saying a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing that's unique. One of the unique things about the game is there are non-playable combatants on the field. You guys are the pilots. You guys are the superstars. Kind of like Pacific Rim, if you guys...
Right, you're the Jaeger pilots.
Right. Well, you guys are the pilots, and you guys can do amazing things. You got a little halfy jetpack, so you can double jump. You can wall run. The dynamics of that is great. After you go from a wall run and you hit the ground, you can keep your momentum jumping, so you jump super farther.
Like the Hulk?
Kind of like the Hulk. I like that. I'll go with that.
I just like how nothing is off limits to you in the world, where you don't. If you see something, you can get to it.
So, and every playable character, every player on the field has a mech?
Basically, what happens is you get like a... Is it point-based?
Well, see, there's 3 minutes, pretty much, each time you can get call in your mech.
Right.
And if you kill another pilot, it was 30 seconds. I don't know if it's going to be this way, if they're going to tweak the times, but it's 30 seconds off your calling a mech time. So it would only be 2.5 minutes, but it goes down anyway. You know, so 3 minutes in the game, everyone's getting a Titan no matter what.
Okay, good, because there's not going to be a bunch of dick faces running to get one mech.
No. Everyone's got their own unique mech, and you call it down, and depending on what perks you have on, it can either be immediate, which hurts people when you drop it on them, or it can be just dropped, but you can have it follow you, like My Pet Monster or whatever, or you can, I mean, it's incredible. It's like a Big Daddy almost.
Yeah, it basically, you can command it without being in it. So it's not just like, oh, I got a race to get to it. You could have it, you know, you could drop it and have it come to you, put it in defense mode until you get there. You can still do what you're doing. You could have it follow you and fight people at the same time. It's I haven't really figured out how to get like amazing with it, because, you know, it's a short period of time. But, you know, that first month, at the end of that month, you're going to see people that are just unstoppable with the mechs. Like,
I in the beta, they had three different modes. They had, basically, it's attrition, which was basically team deathmatch. They have epic names for these things. They're kind of things we've seen before. Hardpoint domination, which is just domination. Three bases. You're trying to be the team that's hopefully at least holding two. And last Titan standing, and that's where I hone my Titan skills, because they are kind of hard to control at first. And that's, everyone starts with a Titan, and once yours gets blown up, you're free to run around and destroy the other Titans on the other team. But once you lose all your Titans, that's game over for your team. Round loss.
I thought when this game initially came out, the Titans were going to be super unbeatable once you had one. It's going to be like kind of like a tank in Halo. But the Titans are easily killable by like a regular guy. Like it's not like you're, I mean, you're overmatched if you're in an open field or something like that. But like a lot of these boards have a lot of like cover,
and hence the free running and everything too. I'm sure.
It's amazing. The game's great. It's got a lot of just cool features that
the
I haven't seen.
Other thing I really liked that I had heard about was at the end of the game you have evacuation.
Oh, dude, I love it. I almost like losing.
I think it's funner to lose at the end than to win, like, so, the end game.
I don't know. Stopping someone from getting on that ship's fun, too.
So it's fun to try to get to it.
I've heard the description. So, basically, you lose the round, you got to get out.
It's a drop ship's coming from space, pretty much warping from space. You got 30 seconds to get to it. You can really get across the entire board in 30 seconds.
I thought it was a little bit more than that, because I remember...
It depends on the board. It depends. Right. There's only two boards. In the beta.
Because I remember I got to one early. I had to survive for like 30 to 40 seconds before the thing even got there. Okay. So
it'll say dropship's coming. It'll show you on your map. Everybody knows where it's going. You get there. All players on either team at that point have one life. And if I kill you, then obviously you're just gone for the round and you're not getting the bonus. If you're on the winning team, you're trying to get me to stop from going on that dropship, and you get extra points for killing my last guy. And dropship shows up, you got about 7 to 10 seconds to jump on it, and then it just warps out. So
that's cool.
There's like a cool little fight at the end, and the guys who are on losing teams but are kind of better, you know, that can blitz it out, get 400 points, which is an okay amount for the game.
Well, that's cool, though, rewarding the good ones.
It's cool. They also have a card-based system where instead of getting straight-up achievements, or like Halo, you would get the Kiltacular or Kilimanjaro or whatever, you get a card. Each player, while you're playing the game, you get three cards. You have a whole deck at your disposal before the game. You pick which ones you think you're going to use, and then you can burn them, which will give you things like explodable bullets, a free Titan right away. Cool shit. Just cool shit.
I like the different classes. The assassin, I just think it's cool because they have that smart gun, and it's just kind of like you destroy the grunts with the smart gun.
You're talking about the different classes of Titans or pilots?
Well, first I'm going to talk about pilots. Well, because you really didn't get to see too much of the different classes of Titans. And
well, that was the thing in the beta that was cool. I really only got to watch somebody be Strider, which is kind of the assassin I was thinking of, the smaller, faster one, because they drop cards. You could, in the beta, they allowed you to try the other two Titans that weren't available to you right away with cards. Very unique cards.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the pilots.
Yeah, the different type of pilots. There's obviously, you got your rifleman type guy. Then there's a guy with a shotgun. Who's in the beta. And then there was an assassin lady. And I just loved the gun. It basically, if you stood still and they were close enough to you, it just targeted all their heads. And you just had to, like, you know, tap the trigger a couple times, and they all just died with all headshots.
Very unique.
Nice.
It was just like such a different type of weapon, a different type of playing it, you know?
Right, right. The perks in the game are pretty well balanced from what I saw on the pilots. Just an incredible game.
Yeah. The assassins can turn... does everyone turn invisible? Or
it's a perk you can have.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was just the starting class, but when you do the customs, mm-hmm. you could just... create whatever you want.
I do like how there's two types of grenades. Is the grenade you can throw that's totally straight,
mm-hmm.
like a dart almost, and then there's a grenade that you arced for the Titans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a magnetic grenade. There's all sorts of cool shit. All sorts of cool just weapons. I got to try a bunch of them in the cards, the auto shotgun, the LMG. Regular ones, but then you got the perfect dark type weapons that Giant Shock was talking about. I was just blown away.
I was hysterically laughing because my roommate and friend G-Man, he was standing on top of a building, you know, like I guess scoping something out, seeing his attack to get to the base to take it over, and some guy came behind him, and I don't know if it was like you know how you break people's necks and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
He obviously gave him a duff to the back of the head, but it did like a terrain kill where he just kicked him in the back.
He
of
kicked
his,
him?
In the yeah. back, and he flew off the building yeah. and died.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a terrain kill or he just happened to die from that. It was
Sparta kick.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, it's a great game. That was the pilots, I guess. The Titans, did you look at the Titans yet?
I haven't, like I said, I didn't get a chance to see anyone drop those cards and see the different types of ones, but I was dicking around with, like, the guns, basically, is the only thing you could mess with,
mm-hmm.
and I, for whatever reason, I didn't really care for the missile so much, the missile gun so much. I liked the turret gun. That was my favorite one for the Titan. Plus, I did like, every Titan has, like, a force field shield that they could catch all the bullets.
Well, you don't have to have that. You have other things, too. Well, you know what? I know all about the other Titans, so why don't I just...
Go for it.
Roll into the Titans.
You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.
Not another yard.
You just wanted to play that clip.
I did. Okay, no, for real, let's start talking about the Titans.
Brothers! Titans! Look at you in your squalid prison! Who put you down there?
All right, that's the last one.
Which one's that?
The Hercules. Hercules, the movie?
The cartoon movie?
I haven't seen that.
It was good. It wasn't as good as the game, but it was good.
I was going to say you can play some Mega Mind clips, too.
Cause... I know. I tried. Trust me. I tried getting that third in there, but I couldn't. They don't want that one on YouTube, I guess. I don't know. But the Titans, they got three different ones that we got to see. The regular chassis, which is the only one we got to play, which is your basic average one.
Looked like Gypsy Danger, the layout of that one.
Right. He had two sprints, so to speak. You can move back and forth with a sprint technique, which is kind of like a jet jump, you know, a little faster, a little speedy. Instead of the shield, I used something that got people off my back, the smoke, where you set up a smoke screen and people can't see, but they can't actually walk in, the enemies can't walk into it. It's just a good game. I mean, it's just an incredible game. The Strider is the faster one. It's smaller. It's built for Capture the Flag, although Capture the Flag wasn't available for the beta.
I was bummed about that, because this game, I feel, is going to be like epic with Capture the Flag.
Do you think they're going to let you ride the Titans with the Flag? I hope not.
I hope they don't, just because the...
Maybe if you ride on your buddy's Titan with it, fine, but I don't want to see anybody get in their Titan and just kind of be a penis.
It's not that, like... Oh, because you're super, like, you know, you're unstoppable or anything like that. It just takes forever to bring a Titan down. It doesn't take forever, but it takes a lot to bring a Titan down. And if you're playing Capture the Flag, you know, it's pretty quick, the Titan. Like, it's out. Like,
to me, it's kind of, it would be kind of comparable to, I know I'll go to Halo because everyone has played Halo generally. Whenever the guy with the flag would grab the overshield, it would just be kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Always, like an overshield, always near the guy. I hope they don't do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, they also have the Ogre, which was notably more powerful, punching, at least. And
that was my favorite part of the Titan there.
Punching into
the other Titans and grabbing them out of their...
Oh, that's cool.
You can grab the other guys out of their
Titans. The finishing move, you could blast them and rip the pilot out throw them across the board.
Nice. Yeah, the best was you throw them, you looked at them, you're like, man, nah, and you chucked them across the board.
Yeah, very nuanced game, very awesome.
You know, this is, I feel, what Halo should have evolved into. While I feel that Halo...
Which is weird, because Halo 1 said it was going to evolve. Didn't it say Halo Combat Evolved?
It's right there in the title.
And then nothing.
It's the same game.
It evolved very little, actually.
It's been the same game since 2001. They just added different, I guess, vehicles to it. And it's basically... I mean, you've had a couple new weapons
that aren't that great. I think Reach changed it a little bit, you know, where the Spartans got a little something extra.
Yeah, but it's minimal. The actual gameplay itself never really changed all that much.
Right.
Then you got to hope for Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name of the new Bungie game,
right?
Bungie,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you gotta hope
that's not Halo. That's like a totally separate
game. Yeah, but it's the guys who made Halo, so you gotta hope that they actually step it up and make good on their promises from 13 years ago.
It looks Halo-esque to me.
So, boring.
No. It looks good.
Boring.
No. It looks good.
If I'm bored.
All right. I guess a little bit. We'll see how it goes. You know? Anyway, let's go into a little more news. What do I got?
Paper.
I got paper. It's
digital world, Dan.
You have an iPad in front of you.
I know, but I use...
It's only for sounds.
I use sounds.
Brothers! Titans!
Okay.
Yeah, James.
The news The big news for Xbox right now is Rise Son of Rome. It should be out now while the price drop should be out now while we are airing this. Like, again, we record this Wednesday, but we come out with it on Saturday. It's going to be $39.99 rather than the 60 bones that it normally is on downloadable content.
Mm-hmm. Well, good.
Crushing the used games.
Right.
Before they have a chance to get out.
Right. Well, it's a... I mean, the decrease in price is not, like, super surprising for a game that's... I mean, it's...
A game that didn't do that well?
Kind of lacking. But in a series of tweets by Xbox studio manager Mike Ybarra? Ybarra?
I think that's right.
Anyway, I'm going to read one that he wrote. Lots of people ask for better deals on our digital marketplace, so we're testing some. Which a lot of people believe that that means that they're pretty much going to start lowering the price. He also hinted at it, by the way, that they're going to start lowering the price to just undercut GameStop on used games.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that coming.
They have like a real beef with the GameStop.
They really do.
Like their whole business a
blood
model.
Feud.
I mean, if you devalue the games on your own site and you don't have to, like, you know, have any plastic, I think that'll hurt GameStop's reselling of their own games. If you could just download it.
If they're always going to be lower, then that might be a problem. I mean, I know the problem with it before was, like, for example, I'll go back to Shadowrun. Shadowrun was $6 cartridge-based, and they wanted me to pay $20 on Xbox. Why would I do that? But if they're going to undercut GameStop, I might.
It wouldn't take them that long to just get the, you know, GameStop price ranges and just equal them out. And if they're equaled out,
do you think they'll just have a guy calling the GameStop, like that annoying guy?
You can't stop a guy going into their website and just being like, oh, use games. This is what they're selling for. Okay,
it's not private information.
No.
Yeah, I guess.
And then just match it. And at that point, you're only going to GameStop to trade games in, and that's a lot of money.
You're still not getting cash back from Xbox, though. Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean. That's maybe the next step they got to figure out, but I feel that they undercut.
This is a major blow.
I think so.
The fact that they're lowering the prices of their games is huge.
Okay, well,
I don't see a future for GameStop.
They have to adapt or die.
You'll see a trend of downloadable games.
Now the games are going more and more wireless. How are they going to adapt?
I don't know.
It's going to get harder and harder.
You guys are going to see a trend in the news tonight. I trended it on purpose about downloadable games.
Okay.
Anyway, a tweeter or. Tweetist? I don't know.
That's not your word.
Some dude asked Mike Ybarra on Twitter about pre-ordering digital games and having them auto-download. And he said he loves the idea and that they are most... He kind of hinted again, you know, they're kind of slippery when they say it, but he hinted that yes. Yes, pretty much they're headed that way as well as a lot more. And then he tacked on like a, yeah, plus much more to come, but whatever.
Right.
Right, much more to come.
That'd be cool, though. You wake up
How about more than one game?
Your new game's already downloaded?
That's cool.
That would be nice. I'd be into that.
Yeah, you download it, then you have to download like every other update that comes with it for some reason.
So I'm saying, like, they release it at midnight, so it just rolls over the night.
I'd much rather that be done without my notice, where they just update the game when there exactly. is an update, rather than... Oh, okay, the game's cool. It's cool it updated me overnight, but that's not, like, a huge selling point. Like, I could care less. But I didn't have to, like, turn on a game and then have it update for, like, you know, 10 minutes.
Like everything for the PS3 that I've played in the last 2 months.
Xbox One does it now, too.
I'm afraid to ever put an old game.
I got excited playing that PS3 for the first time, plugged it in, and then couldn't play it for an hour and a half.
It's so bad.
I couldn't turn it on for an hour and a half.
Same thing with the Wii U. It's like, oh, you need this update. It's critical to play. It's like 2 hours later, I'm like... My tablet's about to die.
I was about to eat lunch and play a game. After dessert, after dinner, I was able to actually sit down.
I love it when they warn you that it's going to be long. They're like, you may want to plug it in. And you're like, this sucks.
Well, it's rough because it's like, oh, they warn you, like, would you want to do the, you know, the update now? And you're like, nah, then we can't play the game, though, if you don't do the update. So it's like, well, okay, why even give me a choice?
Right. All right.
Just update that shit.
All right, Next story I wanted to go over, just see what you guys think. The BioShock developer, Irrational Games, is cutting their workforce severely. I know, Danny, you know about that, right?
Yeah, I actually heard about that from various sources, because I got friends who are big gamers. I got a whole bunch of gaming sources on Twitter, so I heard about that, like, as soon as it broke.
You want to go over it? Because Sure. I'm tired of my own voice.
Okay. Sure, why not? So basically, Irrational Games, the guys who are in charge of BioShock. Did they do BioShock 2 as well?
No, they didn't do 2, but they did Infinite.
I was going to say, because BioShock 2 was meh. So BioShock and BioShock Infinite. Irrational Games is now cutting down their staff. They're going down to a 15-man group behind Kevin Levine, the guy behind everything there.
Ken.
I thought you said Kevin.
No, I said Ken.
You said Kevin.
Ken Levine. Anyway, so Ken Levine and a 15-person staff are basically going to be continuing on with Irrational Games, but they're going on to a different group, and they've basically given the franchise of BioShock over to 2K Games.
Boo.
So basically, there's two things to sit there and consider. It's like, what's going to be next for Irrational Games, and probably, what's going to be next for BioShock?
I'm assuming for Irrational, a pretty cool new IP. I'm pretty sure for BioShock, is a lot of spin-off shit. Like, that nobody's going
to
want
to play. Well, Irrational, Ken Levine actually said that he wants to focus more on narrative-driven games for
story.
Core gamers.
Yeah, but that's what he's good at. Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of people want to get paid after the other BioShock game.
So basically, what we're going to end up, getting is whatever Irrational Games goes with, we'll please Grandpa Salty over here.
Shut up.
Okay.
And then whatever 2K decides to do, which... since everything leaning toward multiplayer, we'll please everybody else with their new BioShock.
I just thought the interesting thing about this was, he said that he wants to go into a digital download-only format for Irrational Games.
I'm sure in some way that's a lot cheaper.
I got to say, I'm an old-school 2K user because I guess they initially started with all the sports games, and they get old. They don't change a thing from game to game, man. Like, if they release a title, the next title release is going to be exactly the same.
It depends
on also who's otherwise doing the game, because 2K will also, you know, they publish games for groups like Gearbox, who have been successful with
2K's
Borderlands.
The parent company of Irrational as it is, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It gets complicated, but it's more like the big sister. I think their parent company is...
they're under the...
Take-Two Entertainment.
But either way, whoever they end up handing off BioShock 2,
mm-hmm.
like, you gotta hope that they hand it off to somebody
Who cares about it.
Yeah. I guess the only thing that I found weird was I've never heard of a studio going, yeah, we won Game of the Year. We feel we should go in a different direction.
I think that's a good idea, though. You know, like, you've created this awesome masterpiece. Go out while you're on top and move along.
I'm telling you that there's a bunch of disgruntled people that are starting their own companies that wanted to get paid. That they're like, you know what? I think we could just hire some interns, probably do your shit for half the price.
Think so?
But you know what was at least nice about Ken Levine's statement? He said that they're going to do a whole thing where all the people that they had hired for Irrational Games, they are going to have like a career fair, essentially.
A job fair?
Essentially for those people. It's not saying like, oh, you're all laid off. Fuck you, see you later. He's like, all right, these guys made some of the best games ever. You want them, so take them.
Right, he said that, you know, they're going to get severance packages.
Yeah, it's not
to hook them up with new studios.
Right.
Overall, it's not a dick move, and hopefully, as far as what Irrational Games is doing, it's going to lead on to something better.
Fingers crossed.
Better than BioShock Infinite. Good luck.
BioShock and BioShock Infinite are two of my favorite games of the past decade, mm-hmm. and I'm really going to be sad if it just turns into crap from that one.
Well, you got to give it one bad game in between.
BioShock 2, which wasn't Irrational.
I'm saying you got to give it one, and then the series.
I guess.
Also, BioShock 2 was still pretty good, except for the story was weak. The story was extremely weak. It had no big climax. It was like
It's forgettable.
Yeah, it was a big old horde fight, and then suddenly it's over. Multiplayer, which even though it wasn't stupendous, it was a lot of fun.
That had the Rapture.
It was a flashback. It was a lot of fun. It's actually one of the few things I started playing when I started playing multiplayer. But, you know, just overall it was forgettable, especially when you sandwich it between BioShock and BioShock Infinite.
Right.
So.
Okay. All right. And lastly, I want to go over Cliffy B's statement.
What did he say now?
I'm a great big old douchebag.
Oh, I didn't know you had a soundboard over there.
We're going to do a prequel with starring Cole.
No, Cliffy B said that he is officially done with disc-based games. He never wants to do another one again. People who don't know, Cliffy B is Cliff Bleszinski. He's the designer of Gears of War franchise.
I'm not too familiar with game designing, but does disc-based games limit what you could do?
And isn't that the same thing we just said about Ken Levine?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that was kind of the trend for the news tonight.
Yeah, isn't that the future of the industry?
So we said that Ken Levine's awesome, so therefore we should totally do like a 180 and be like, oh man, this guy sucks.
But well, Cliffy B totally did it in a douchey way.
Well, just... All right, I'll read some of his, I have it quoted, and I normally don't just flat out verbatim read quotes, but I don't want anyone taking this out of context or anything.
Yeah, I actually want to hear what he actually said. Quote, so.
The whole old guard where you get a Game Informer cover and an E3 reveal is dead. I'll never make another Discbait game for the rest of my career, and at E3 they're trying to woo buyers from Target and Walmart. Okay. Yeah, that's the expansion of the genre, pretty much. I mean, just Target and Walmart carry video games.
All right, hang on. Okay, what was the first thing you said? The first sentence. Read that again.
The whole old guard where you get a Game Informer cover and E3 reveal is dead.
Cliffy B's. But isn't that how everyone gets excited for a game? That's where all the hype begins.
Also, isn't that kind of pissing in Game Informer and E3's face?
Yeah, basically, he's only going to do games on vinyl from now because it just sounds better.
Yeah, I mean, this
it's
is
only good on wax.
He's only going to write them on typewriters.
In a different sense, this is like that time that Pearl Jam tried to beat Ticketmaster and sell their own tickets. It's like it's going to fail, and you know it.
Right.
And then what was the second part?
The second part was, I'll never make another disc-based game for the rest of my career, and at E3, they're trying to woo buyers from Target and Walmart.
He's like a gaming hipster.
He grabbed his crotch and flipped everyone off in the room.
Right. Which is basically what he does all the time.
With the thing with Target and Walmart and GameStop is that they're always making these super special things that you can only get here and there and everything. It's like, it's little extra things that no one gives a shit about. If you don't want to make those kind of little specific store-based things, don't do it. Or do what you're saying and just make it a digital download.
Right. Well,
I have never shopped for a game at a Target or Walmart.
You know what? You know what? It's a little example here. I almost bought their version of Final Fantasy 13 because they had some cool little downloadable shit for that had Final Fantasy 7 stuff. But also Square Enix had the same stuff available if you pre-ordered it from them. I was like, okay, well, fuck Target. I'm just gonna buy it from Square Enix because they made the fucking game. They have all the cool stuff. So why is Target and Walmart specifically mentioned in here? It's like, I don't get it.
I don't know. He's being kind of douchey. going down the douche trail even further, he reflected upon his tenure working on Gears of War, saying, quote, it didn't wind up what I hoped. I pitched it as Band of Brothers with Monsters. You know, like a Band of Brothers is well done and emotional, telling the story of the greatest generation and what they did in the war. Yet somehow we landed on Predator, the characters being all buff and manly. I never planned that.
You didn't plan that, and yet the first game, guys with tiny heads, big bodies.
Yeah, my stupid successful series.
Did you not confer with the artists at all? Also, your Epic Games, did you ever watch Unreal Tournament?
Or the game Quake existed beforehand.
Like, I know, everyone's huge at Epic.
The game existed beforehand. He said, you know what, throw Mad World on top of that, it'll be artistic.
Right, right. He went on to say, I don't want Gears to be my defining legacy.
It's gonna be.
I would be fine with it. But anyway, he goes, at the end of the day, it's known for being a fun, fantastic franchise, but I'd like to think that there's more to my creativity than that.
He says, I don't want it to be my defining moment, as he pulls out a wallet thicker than the size of my fucking head.
Oh, I know, man.
I mean, money's fine, but I mean...
If he wanted to get a Frisbee off his roof, he could lay down his wallet to climb upon it.
Just like, yep, step it up.
And it's all thanks to Gears of War.
Pretty much.
Let's not say we don't want it our defining moment.
I'd be happy with that. I mean, Gears of War was a great franchise, man. I had a lot of fun with that.
Of course it is. I mean, he did say it was fun, but I mean...
He just sounds like one of these guys that don't want to be like mainstream or something like that. Like, oh man, now the mass is like, yeah, I'm not a fan of it.
The one thing I kind of agreed with him on is he wants to focus on games like, he mentioned Minecraft specifically. I'm also going to throw in Second Life because I know what genre he's going with. He wants to go on those games that don't focus on grabbing the new user experience, burn it for the long haul. You know, where it's not just the press A now, you know, training modes and missions and stuff that go for the long.
But
I agree with it.
Minecraft.
I know.
Minecraft, which got ridiculously huge out of nowhere, which I'm sure the guys who made it were like, where'd this come from?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Talking about all that money.
Let him move on.
Like, yeah, big.
All that Minecraft money.
It'd be fine. As long as he doesn't George Lucas him or something and go back and like add the director's cuts for Gears of War.
Yeah,
Skinny Gears of War.
He doesn't get out of his...
Marcus is running around with a gigantic flashlight. And it's
Walkie talkies.
Yeah, you don't need him to get creative with the old series.
He saw him looking at half of the rainbow. It's like,
the only thing I got to say is that it feels like he and Ken Levine were saying the same thing, but he said it in a much douchier way.
One of them said it eloquently.
Right.
And the other one didn't. That's
right. Well, also, it's a matter of what their product is, because you have Gears of War, which is it had a cool story and everything, but it's a heavily multiplayer game, whereas BioShock Infinite are really story driven, a lot more better looking as far as its environment. So there's a little bit more to what Ken Levine says, in my opinion.
Well, I was kind of going for the direction that they're both headed in. They're both trying to go towards the same direction of right. No discs and
well, quick question, if anyone knows, does a disc game limit your capabilities at all?
Not today's.
It shouldn't.
So why would they really care?
Distribution deals, probably.
In the Minecraft or Second Life sense, sort of.
Well, so basically, they don't want the pressings, so they can control their distribution. Is that that's basically what they want?
So
they
could open up their own site. I think it's more of the fact of having a game that can evolve easier, like Second Life, where because those are two games that rely on the users to make stuff a lot. You know, you just throw it out there, and the gamers create things. You know, in Second Life, you could sell your own clothes and you could build an apartment building and sell rooms in it.
Well, from their two series that they got famous for, I mean, those are the set stories. That's why I think a lot of people really enjoyed. I know for a fact BioShock is a complete like story sell. The stories are fantastic in that. And Gears of War, I love the stories, but you could also go into that game and never play the story mode. And it's a super multiplayer game.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, it's not really much building of anything. And that's really what, do you think that's what they really want to get to, is have the people build their own world?
They're both going in a total different direction. I know Cliffy B wants that.
Well,
I don't know about Ken Levine. I just know he actually wants more story driven. But
I think it boils down to also, like I was saying before, with the whole Target Walmart thing, getting rid of the whole extra reseller thing. They getting rid of all that DLC point. But if you play it with digital, you don't have to add extra discs depending on the space. So if you have a game that ends up being ridiculously big because of all the stuff that you add to it, like story and whatnot, you can, you know, digitally download it, and it won't have to be like 2-3 discs, like L.A. Noir, mm-hmm. 3 discs. If you digitally download that, I'm sure it would have been, you know, a little bit easier to handle. It
might have been 3 days, but...
Yeah, yeah, but like...
Yeah.
3 discs compared to like how much you've eaten up on your hard drive for fucking L.A. Noir.
If you really want it.
I got L.A. Noir in my... I got an L.A. Noir Xbox right now. It's the only game I can play because if I erase it...
Well, just make sure that your Xbox is properly vented in that case, because apparently that game melted a couple of Xboxes in its time.
All right, and lastly, I just wanted to ask you guys, obviously you guys see the thread that I went with the news. I kind of feel like that guy who's standing in the crowd and everyone's running one way, and you're like, what's everyone running from? What's the haps? You know, I mean, why is everyone turning so far forward from the disc-based games?
I mean, it adds a ton of cost to the game, you know, like that you don't see as a publisher. Like, you know, you have to press the discs, you have to, you know, and the... And
as we'll see in the history when I do that, there is a, you know, the distribution deals aren't always good.
Oh, right. In the history.
Is it like bad, like a, you know, like music artists where they see like a couple of cents per CD?
There's more than one occasion where they've, the developers have been stiffed.
Well, I'm excited to hear that one.
Yeah. All right. So then let's move on. Good news. Good chat, everyone. I liked it. I'll be listening.
good chat, everybody.
All right. Time to take a test.
This is a test.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
It's only a test.
Was it a...
Novus almost killed himself over there.
I was listening to another podcast, and they did a review of the Mortal Kombat movie. And
why would you do that?
Yeah, why would you listen to another podcast?
But I'm just saying... Asshole. Well, because we just play that song, and then you made a good point where that song plays through 90% of that movie.
I listened to the same one.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, new test formats for the show is we are never going to go above 5 questions, because I found when it was getting 5 questions, it was just...
Lengthy?
It was boring, right? It's fun to play, but not fun to watch. Okay. Like, Monopoly.
Do you ever prepare a 6-1 just in case?
No. No. What, in case it falls off my page?
I was going to say.
Long and boring like a game of FIFA?
Yeah, like FIFA. FIFA a little
pretty
bit.
Harsh, guys. Like,
I was going to say that if somebody, you know, two guys answered two questions correctly and then one. I don't know why I pointed you at the one. I'm sorry. Let me reverse that.
We'll see how that goes. Okay. We'll see how it goes. Anyway, also, tonight, Michelle Tanner rules. So if you get it right.
You got it, dude.
And of course, if you get it wrong.
You're in big trouble, mister.
You wanted to change that to this?
Yeah, we'll be changing them every week.
Get out of your own podcast.
We'll be changing them every week.
Cut it out.
So much no.
What?
Okay. Anyway.
What?
Tonight's quiz.
That's a deep cut.
Yeah, that's old school. Tonight, we will be going into connector words, which is two games connected by one word. So if I was to say perfect cloud, there's a word in the middle.
Dark.
Dark. Perfect dark and dark cloud. Very good.
And I assume we ring in by raising our hands.
You do. You get 1 point for naming the two games. But as a little twist, each game, if you say the system it debuted on, extra point. So each question is possibly worth 3 points.
Now you say debuted as in like it came
out. If it's on downloadable on Steam or something, no.
No, I mean like if it came out for one and then, you know, it came out for something else a month later.
Just the one.
Well, using the perfect cloud. Perfect Dark originated on N64.
Correct.
Dark Cloud was PlayStation, I believe.
Thank you.
So that would be 3 points.
See, I don't know anything about Dark Cloud. That's
there
why
you go.
I'm... Neither do I. Just remember the ad.
Well, then.
Okay, so this should be fun. Number one, Twilight Peach. Max Barracuda.
Princess.
You got it.
Okay.
You got it, dude.
Twilight Princess. Do you want to play the thing?
Wait, I thought it was supposed to be game names.
Yeah.
There's no game named Princess Peach.
All right, well, that's the one cheat.
There was a DS game. Was that Princess Peach?
I think you're thinking of Fat Princess.
No, there was the DS game starring Peach.
Great. Anyway, what did Twilight Princess first debut on?
Twilight Princess came out at the same time, I think, on GameCube and Wii.
Pick one.
I'll go Wii, because it was a...
Wii came out a month or two before.
Okay. What about Princess Peach?
Princess Peach, I'm going to ask the first...
Regular Nintendo.
No, I'm going to ask, since I was going for the character, the first game she was available as a playable character.
Playable character? That would... Super Mario Brothers 2. Was playable.
Eh, fuck you.
Okay, 3 points for you, and you deserve Michelle's love.
You got it, dude!
I am going to vote we change that.
It's going to be different next time.
No, right now.
Yeah, 3.0 right now is eating a dick.
Okay, question two. Kirby Island. Nobis Redemptor.
Kirby's Adventure and Adventure Island.
Nice. Okay, Kirby's Adventure debuted on...
NES.
Mm-hmm. Adventure Island?
NES.
All right, 3 points for you.
You got it, dude!
Don't play that for me!
He totally just gave like a Shang Tsung, like...
Your soul is mine.
All right. We're going to go Duck... of Symphonia. Novus Redemptor.
DuckTales and Tales of Symphonia.
Correct. DuckTales first debuted on one
NES.
System. And Tales of Symphonia?
GameCube.
You damn! Dude!
I didn't know the Symphonia.
Fourth question. Crimson of Arcadia. Novus Redemptor.
Crimson Skies of Arcadia?
Mm-hmm. Crimson Sky came out on?
That one I don't know.
Okay. Skies of Arcadia came out?
I'm going to guess GameCube.
Yuck. Skies of Arcadia was Dreamcast. Crimson Skies came out on Xbox.
Oh, because they made
and
Skies...
computer at the same time.
I think they made Skies of Arcadia later on for GameCube.
You've been dominant, and he still gave you a yuck.
It was...
at least it wasn't Michelle Tanner.
It was also a board game first.
Which one?
Crimson Skies.
Parker Brothers?
Little guy named Milton Bradley?
Yeah. Obviously.
Anyway, and lastly, Tetris of the Killer Tomatoes.
Attack? Tetris Attack?
Mm-hmm.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes?
Okay. You want to name the two systems?
No.
No?
No, Tetris Attack, I think, was like a... 64 game or something.
And?
Killer Tomatoes NES.
Okay, Killer Tomatoes was NES. Tetris Attack was SNES.
SNES.
So,
was that the 3D one or the puzzly one?
Attack sounds 3D.
Just by name. One where it was like a circle of Tetris.
The puzzly one was just called Tetris.
Caught myself.
Anyway, so we got a winner. Novus Redemptor.
Yeah.
Redeemed.
Do I have a sound clip yet?
You
got it.
You wanted it? You got it.
Why don't I have victory music yet?
I didn't put it in.
You failed.
I'll do it. Anyway, I know. I should have it. Right, Michelle?
You're in big trouble, mister.
I hate you so much.
Tonight, since we were talking about Titanfall so much, I wanted to go into the history of a blood feud and the birth of a new company, as Max Barracuda can only tell it.
Remember, remember.
I remember that shit. I remember that shit.
History!
We have to go back in time.
I have a catchphrase.
Yeah?
I didn't even know it.
Yeah. All right. You guys remember that episode?
I remember that shit. Anyway, okay. So the origins of Respawn Games. Do you guys know anything about this? About what happened?
I do, but there's a ton of like rumors thrown out there. That's why I asked you to do it.
All right, I did a little digging around.
Wait, hold on. Before you start, what do they make?
Respawn's making Titanfall. It's the first game that they've ever made.
Okay.
Oh, for a second, I thought you meant like the respawning in games.
No, it's just a clever play on both a video game term and their company.
Right. If it was the respawning in games, I'll give you a brief history on that. It's because players don't like games where they die and they can never play again.
That's why Warzone and every game sucks.
No, the Call of Duty mode where you are the one guy for the
search
round.
And destroy.
Yeah, that was a real fun mode.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, fuck Call of Duty, right, Pete?
Right. That's what I've been saying for years. So in early March of 2010, Activision informed the SEC that two high-level employees were being released due to what they called breaches of contract and insubordination. At that exact same time, Infinity Ward president Jason West and the CEO of Infinity Ward, Vince Zampella, changed their online profile, their LinkedIn profiles, to read that they were no longer with the company. So it obviously came to light that these are the guys who brought Call of Duty, Call of Duty 2, Modern Warfare, and Modern Warfare 2, also known as all the best Call of Duty games. They're the ones who brought them to us.
The ones not done by Activision.
Yeah, and they were promptly let go and replaced, followed quickly by 46 other Infinity Ward employees, who all resigned. This led to a huge legal battle between West and Zampella, between them and Activision. They claimed that Infinity Ward had not received royalties for Modern Warfare 2, which, if you remember, was like one of the first billion-dollar games.
Huge.
Oh, yeah. Huge game. And Activision claimed that they breached their contract by holding meetings with other game publishers, like EA, for example. And they even went so far as to call them self-serving schemers. But at the end of this big battle, this is recent. This is within the past year or so. Activision had to confirm that it made a confidential deal, suggesting that they did actually pay these guys off.
Good.
So I think what really went down, what it seemed like, is Activision, which doesn't have the best track record, got a little greedy, didn't pay their royalties, leading these two guys to go searching for a better deal, and then they had grounds to fire. So, but a month after the firing, West and Zampella announced they were starting their new indie studio, Respawn Entertainment. Now you see the play there. They struck a deal with EA as a partner program, like Bungie, and they will own all of their own IPs completely, while EA reserves publishing and distribution rights. So hopefully it'll work out a little better for them on Titanfall.
Mm-hmm.
Also, by that July of 2010, they had hired 38 of the 46 resigned employees. The remaining employees had all gone on and got other things. So they brought the old gang back together. So this is the exact creative team behind all the great Call of Duties.
Nice, man. I love it. And it was great. I mean, Titanfall is excellent. I think they're doing an excellent job. I was a little wary. I didn't know what they were going to do with the servers.
Yeah. Now, one thing to note is Jason West, left Respawn recently.
Really?
Citing family issues.
See, I didn't know that.
It is, though, rumored that he has had no involvement with Titanfall whatsoever.
Yikes.
I mean, he was the president, I believe? So he wouldn't be involved directly in...
Co or whatever?
Yeah. And they put out the statement, Jason has left Respawn to take care of some family issues. We've worked together on some amazing accomplishments over the years.
He's a drunk.
So on, so on, so forth. So that's it. So now Titanfall.
Okay. I retract drunk statement, by the way. I don't know.
He's a drunk.
All right, so that that about wraps it up. Anybody got anything else to say? Anything they want to talk about? Get off their chest?
I just found it funny that they go to EA.
I know, of all the companies.
EA, who's currently sitting there fighting with Battlefield 4 right now.
Well, that's why I was worried about the servers. I didn't want to, like, harp on Battlefield 4, but no. Battlefield 4 servers make the game
they fixed that yet?
Unplayable. No. Well, I wouldn't know. I haven't picked it up for a month.
No, I'm sorry, but they're saying that EA has like little to no involvement with any of it. So fingers crossed.
I was just worried that since they were kind of a startup, that they weren't going to be able to get servers beefy enough, and they were going to have to use EA ones.
They are going. There's a great video online if you go down this rabbit hole of them pretty much without an office, without a computer, coming up with the E3 demo, like in notebooks that they could throw together.
Well, they're the best. They're my heroes. And they made possibly my favorite game of all time, coming out next month.
Yeah. These are the only guys with wallets bigger than Cliffy B's.
I won a couple bucks playing the betting game in the Super Bowl, and I bought myself a PS4 with it. But I just want to know if anyone knows when is going to be a game worth buying on that system, because, I mean...
You're in big trouble, mister!
Titanfall is going to take up my time now on Xbox starting next month, but I don't really know of any PlayStation 4 game.
I mean, you can get Killzone. Or you know, the new ones.
Well, isn't the new Infamous coming out just for that?
Is it yes, Infamous is exclusive. So.
Yeah, it's well, it better be fucking exclusive. They threw it into fucking PS All-Stars.
PS always loses their exclusives, though. Metal Gear is not going to be the new Metal Gear is not going to be an exclusive.
That's a thing in and of itself, considering the fact that I heard the first half of that is going to be 2 hours long and a full-price game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I heard that people were able to beat it twice in 4 hours.
That's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, that means it's 2 hours long.
Yeah, but that's its own...
Even like, upwards of three times into 6 hours.
But that's its own...
Going as high as 4 times in 8 hours.
But capping is, off at 6 and 12.
But the thing is, I'm finding
I was looking this up, so...
I'm finding that a lot of, like every single system...
You could literally spend half your day beating the game.
Every single system, including the Wii
six
U,
times.
They're not coming out with their big stuff until, like... Now-ish.
Well, let's see. The upcoming release is Thief, but I think that's
multi-platform. Thief is multi-platform, and I used to love that game.
Thief is next week. Is that just for PS4?
I think that's for both.
No, okay. It's for both.
Okay, so Thief. You have Thief, you have Density, you have Titanfall, you have the new Donkey Kong coming out next week. You have South Park coming out.
South Park
looked the booth looked awesome at Comic-Con.
Yeah, that looks amazing.
At the Comic-Con.
You have Infamous.
Infamous comes out March 21st.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm just looking at PlayStation here. Then there are not a lot of big ones, but
like damn, not a lot of big ones.
We got Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs should have been out like I don't know 6 months ago.
Watch Dogs multiplayer.
So you know what? That remains to be seen.
So buy a PS4. You can play exactly what you got on the Xbox.
Yeah, really.
What about Xbox One? What are they coming out with?
Isn't Titanfall exclusive?
I think Titanfall is Xbox One and PC, according to whatever.
Well, the PC gamers
it's
and
it's Microsoft
Xbox,
exclusive.
The console gamers don't really.
Yeah, there's a whole
much. Except in the perfect game, Shadowrun.
All right, Xbox One also Thief, Plants vs Zombies, Garden Warfare, which actually looked like a lot of fun.
It does look cool.
Isn't that free on your iPad over there?
No. Garden Warfare is a third person shooter game.
Oh, okay. Right.
Titanfall, of course. Then Metal Gear is also out for that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Just like Grand Theft Auto is now. PlayStation lost that.
Let's see. Watch Dogs also there.
Crash Bandicoot's living on the streets.
There. Yeah, a lot of
Onyuma.
Yeah, at least they got a good...
You got some change.
They got a good little burst coming in the next few weeks.
Yeah, fine. Here's a cool
and nothing.
And then, like, The Division.
The Division, I saw videos of. That looks cool. But
that's, that still hasn't,
anyway,
doesn't have a...
Anyway, we're just kind of... geeking out at this point, which we'll talk about.
But there's going to be little bursts of good stuff, and then nothing, then a burst, and nothing.
I remember last spring there was a bunch of good stuff. The new Gears game came out, the Lara Croft game came out, the BioShock.
Keep in mind, I'm only reading stuff that sounds super familiar. So who knows? Some of this could be gold,
and it could be a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, I don't know what Super Time Force is.
Yeah,
or Carmageddon reincarnation.
Right now, the new consoles could use a diamond in the rough.
Guarantee you, Carmageddon reincarnation is going to blow up.
There's a new Wolfenstein. You want
that? Oh yeah, that's been coming out for a while though. That's going to be
the new order
since about '93.
I was looking forward to that as much as I was the new Duke Nukem coming out.
The golf club.
Don't get me started.
The single golf club.
That's what it's called.
All right, fellas, let's wrap it up.
The mafia game.
All right, let's wrap it up. Definitely hit us up on the Facebook, like I said. If you got questions for us, hit us up on the Facebook. If you want to add questions to the quiz, we'll definitely give you a shout out at the very least. If you want to stop by the booth, we're going to have a booth at EternalCon. Right, Pete? You're better at these things than me.
Yeah, that's coming.
I didn't hear about this.
Oh, dude, we're going to have a booth at EternalCon.
Thanks. You tell me after the fucking cast.
All right.
The dates on that are June 14th and 15th, Garden City, Long Island. That's the Cradle of Aviation Museum. We'll be there as Painted Black Comics, and I believe that A Squad will have a. Are we going to be at the Painted Black table or at the Game Hut table?
Game Hut table. We're going to be sharing a booth with a local retailer, Game Hut.
Friends of the show.
Who's been on the show?
Been on the show. They love us. They can't get enough.
But next week, we should be able to give you at least the Painted Black number.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that about wraps it up. Also new to the show, I'm going to just... everybody was digging that Batman song I had for so long. I have a bunch of indie songs about video games and books and shit like that. So I'm just going to close out.
So here's Dan's four-hour playlist.
No. Every week, I'm just going to give you guys a little flavor. This one comes from Titanfall Legends on YouTube. Go to his channel. He's got an awesome Titanfall rap. Here's a little piece of it, but it's really good.
Titanfall, stand by for Titanfall. Titanfall.
Everybody later.
Stand by for Titanfall. Pilots all around me, bodies on the floor. This game is freaking awesome. It's time for war. Titanfall. Stand by for Titanfall.
First two, I'm coming in hot like a titan from the sky. Watch drop, eh? I'm a pilot living on the frontier. Motherfuckers, this is futuristic warfare. I got a jetpack to boost me up. Can run on walls, makes me feel so tall. This entire map's like a playground. I'm no longer earthbound.